Horse was like, yeah, I'm gonna win this race, better. I'm gonna win, Rich. And Rich was like, bet.
So cool, the official gathering place for newbies and novices and OG diehard fans of the golden age of prime time. I'm your host, Jet. Viewing and reviewing the soapiest, sudsiest primetime storyline of 1983. As we drift back into a time of ago, we get to relax and rest in the analog drama that precedes us. So whether you're new to this or true to this, sit back and enjoy. Tell the kids it's time to play outside or outside. Tell babe no questions, suggestions, or concerns for the next 25, 35, 45 minutes. Everyone else on earshot, you should be cool, quiet, or be freaked out because we have got to discuss our stories. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Soap. Hello, gorgeous. Welcome or welcome back to Soap Lore, the official gathering place of all you newbies, novices, and OG diehard fans of the golden age of primetime. We are done with our Knox Landing takeover for the next at least 4 or 5 episodes. It is time to jump back into our regularly scheduled programs, which would include Dynasty Dallas and Falcon Crest. Quiet is kept. I didn't want to be biased this season. I know season 4 is a brand new episode. This is a brand new day. By the time these shows reach season 4, they are solidified in their popularity, they are solidified in their characters, and it is time to bring something new to the table. I wish I was as unpredictable, however. I'm not. I kind of sort of have a favorite, but honest to God, all three series are bringing me a lot of anxiety as far as what I want to watch. I want to know if Sue Ellen is going to be clinked up, if they're going to put my girl in cuffs. I can't stand to see Miss Texas handcuffed and thrown in the clink for just speculation. It's disgusting. It's egregious. Over on the Falcon Crest, I am low-key intrigued by the whole Indiana Jones saga, so I need to know what happens next. On Dynasty, Alexis keeps me interested, and Adam's unpredictability, since he is off the meds, keeps me up at night sometimes, if I'm being perfectly honest. So it is a gamble. I have to figure out who I'm going to watch first, and I did that by putting all three names in a jar. And we're now going to pick, and the winner is... Oh, Falcon Crest. For all you Falcon fiends, this is a beautiful, beautiful day. We're going to jump into season 4, episode 4, and figure out what's really going on with all this, you know, the Nazi gold and the digging up Jacqueline's buried Nazi treasure. Biggest question that we go to in this episode is Julia still alive? I think she is, and I have recently rekindled that theory based on a few other episodes. Knox Landing woke it up for me for some reason, but I stated this 2-3 seasons ago. If you don't see a body, you ain't dead. Period. People are always coming back from the dead on a soap opera, and I hope Julia is next. So let's jump in to Falcon Crest season 4, episode 4, The Outcast. The synopsis is as follows. Maggie is angry that her father never told her she was adopted. Terry's husband arrives. Husband? Jeopardizing her inheritance from Michael. Cole moves back to his parents' home with baby Joseph. Terry got a husband? Okay, full disclosure, I try to keep this show as authentic as possible. I didn't know she had a husband. I thought because she was a call girl on the East Coast that she maybe had a pimp. She had a full husband. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is the thing you could get away with back in the day. Circa before 1980, clearly, you could get away with a lot. There was a time before your driver's license actually had a picture on it. You could say, you know, my name is Bobby Wright. And then you rob a bank and you're like, oh crap, now my name is Robert Wright. You could just steal someone else's identity and no one would be any the wiser.
this is insane to me. And that actually this show was shot in 1984. Whatever. Close enough. This is what bothers me too on these shows. Everybody is moving back home. I understand you need to have a central location. I think I named that on episode 1 or 2. But why would a full-grown man who has a really, really good job working at this vineyard, which he is part owner of, he has inherited a large sum of money. Why would you need to move back home? Don't make no sense. And his sister is still out dancing somewhere in New York, allegedly. My goodness. Okay. Well, I'm going to shut up now and I'm going to press play. This episode is a little bit different. I have never seen this, so I'm going to watch this in full. I totally forgot I had to pay for Falcon Crest. It is what it is. Let me watch this. I'll come back with my synopsis and we will discuss all of the things. Don't forget, you now have the option to text me. If you're listening to this on your phone, there should be a number at the bottom of the show notes. Hit your girl up. I want to hear what you have to say. Did you think Terry had a husband? I just didn't think that was, I mean, as far as hookers go, I guess she could have been young and dumb and fallen into things, but they don't really give a great deal of information about Terry's past other than that she was a call girl on the East Coast. So this should be very, very interesting. I had all but forgotten that on the last episode, it was revealed that Maggie was adopted. It didn't happen organically. Angela was pissed off and decided she would come down from the house, make an appearance at this champagne parade and be like, oh, yeah, you can't possibly be that identical to Terry because you have different parents. Totally. This is the first time in Maggie's full-grown life that she's realized that she is adopted. So naturally, she feels a way that her dad is super pissed. Like, why would this woman do this to her? Why would she? Quiet is kept. That is a consensus around the entire vineyard. Everybody, that's Lance, Emma, everybody wants to know, why would you do this to her? Why? You could have done a million different things. You can't possibly be that pissed off at Chase to go for Maggie. So Maggie is an innocent bystander. She is basically an infant in this. She is innocent in every single way. She don't bother nobody. She don't start nothing. She just wants to live her life, write a couple movies from time to time, almost have an affair, raise her grandson, period. That's all she does. Angela's like, oh, that's cute. Let me look back in my Rolodex. Hold up. Oh, that's right. Didn't she kill my husband? Everyone's like, no, she didn't kill her. Didn't her husband kill my husband by not being able to fly a plane, period, point blank? Had that not happened, I would have my full family. If my family disrupted, so was hers. When everybody's saying, what the hell are you talking about, Andrew? You are out of line, period, point blank. As far as families go, mostly everyone's family is intact. Cole and Melissa have worked out a wonderful parenting partnership. They are perfect co-parents for baby Joseph, who makes an appearance this episode, oddly, but wonderfully. So Melissa sees Cole at the park and they're both talking quietly about the whole adoption reveal thing. They're like, man, that was so messed up. I know, dang, that's so messed up. Thank God, at least our baby knows who we are. And they're like, yeah, that's probably wonderful, blase, blase. Next day, Melissa decides that she's going to put Joseph in the front seat of her two-seater, who all of us millennials, Gen X, you all know what it is. I once got a ticket because my kid had just turned 8. They weren't in like the booster seat facing backwards. I got a ticket. It was quickly dismissed. But the point is, we are saturated with these laws and rules and regulations that are meant to keep children safe and people safe. And I totally get it. I'm not even appalled by it. But back in the day, you could put a 2-year-old in the front seat of a 2-seater. Actually, there's no back seats, period. He could be in a 2-seater like it was the most normal thing on earth. Now, Melissa pulls up to Falcon Crest. Chow Lee is setting out breakfast, but it's like 10 o'clock. She's like, where is Angie? Damn, it's late. Damn, y'all eat breakfast this late? It's almost lunchtime. Angela comes out of the house like, don't worry about when we eat. We do what we do when we do it. What you want, little girl? And she's like, well, I just came by to make sure you weren't dead. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if this is your first time listening to this show, welcome. I'm so glad you decided to join us. I totally forgot to mention that my last episode was the 200th episode. So we are knee deep into this primetime soap opera extravaganza. And from time to time, I will replay a scene to you, not verbatim, but I will extract the essence of a scene. A scene, I never lie about anything. I just withdraw the essence of it in something I call soap lore theater. Today is a very light version of the theater. I'm telling you what the essence of the conversation was, so we don't have to get into the blow-by-blow dialogue, because that would be boring. Angie's like, don't worry about when we eat, we eat when we eat. What are you doing here, little girl? And Melissa's like, want to make sure you weren't dead. And also, I heard you got a new lawyer that looks like Ken doll. He don't know if he's British or American. I need to get his over-enunciating ass to make sure that he understands that I am the heir. H-E-I-R. I'm going to be so embarrassed if that's misspelled. And Angela's like, God, everyone knows who you are, Melissa. Why don't you just relax? You'll find out when you find out. I'm not going to die today, so you might as well just leave. Why are you here anyway? Melissa implies that, I just wanted to make sure everything was everything. Now, Joseph jumps out of the car and he's like, hi, Angie. Angie, you know, back in my day, y'all already know what I'm going to say. A child never calls an adult their first name. I think that is just par for the course if you live south of the Mason-Dixon line in the United States of America. What are you doing? I don't care if that is your mama's best friend. That is Aunt whoever or Miss whoever. You do not dare call her by her first name. To this day, I still stutter step when I call my mother-in-law her friend. I can't do that. Anyway, baby Joseph is 2 years old. And he's like, Hey, Angie. And Melissa's like, oh my God, you don't call her that. You just call her whatever. No. Angie's like, no. Listen. We're not even blood related. She didn't say that, but that is the implication. Listen, I don't want to be called great grandmother. Call me Angie. I respect it. Joseph goes inside. He gets his candy. Melissa and Angela discuss the fact that she is the heir, allegedly, and she'll meet the lawyer when she meets the lawyer. Angela's not going to rearrange her day. But I thought it was so weird that Melissa would go out of her way before dropping Joseph off at school to stop by to make sure that was happening. Phones were invented long before 1984. It would have been very easy to make a phone call, but I guess she wanted to stunt, make sure Angela wasn't dead, and show off her brand new dress. That's got to be what it is. It was a JCPenney's catalog. God, it was amazing. I know what you're doing, Melissa. I see you just wanted to show off your outfit before anybody else saw it. I know what you did. Anyway, Maggie is quietly spiraling. I don't know who I am anymore. There's a whole conversation between Maggie, her dad, Chase, Cole, and Aunt Terry. And Aunt Terry's like, well, am I adopted too? And the father's like, no. Basically, Mama and I didn't know we could have babies. So we went ahead and adopted this beautiful woman right here who's not as horse as you, Terry. Again, this is soap lore theater. I'm extracting the essence. He did not say any of these things. He did not say that she was a whore. That's all he didn't say. Then he goes on to say, no, honey. We adopted Maggie and the next thing you know, we're pregnant with you. You are bio. Maggie is not, but we still love her. Meanwhile, Richard is still trying to get to the bottom of Miss Lynch's disappearance. She's hanging upside down with like some, what's that guy, Tony, whatever. He's been on those infomercials. He got hit by a bus and then he invented like some sort of swingy, walkie, leggy thing. Sometimes you hang upside down. She's basically doing that. And his whole thing is like, babe, if you are being pressured by the cartel, you need to tell me. And she does. She tells him as much. That Spears has been tracking her down and he told her to basically sit and wait for him. And Rich is like, I'm so glad you told me. That proves you're loyal. Don't even trip about it. Meanwhile, they go down to the racetrack and Richard decides to call a horse. ? Calls a horse. The horse is like, yeah, I'm going to win this race better. I'm going to win, Rich. And Rich is like, bet. Things seem to be back on the up and up for Richard, but he's super curious now. Why is Angela coming from my throat? He's still fully convinced that there's someone coming to buy out all his shares. I guess that's what it is. He notices that a lot of the shares are going really quickly. Lynch is back. She's back on her administrative assistant duties. So he's like, go downstairs and bet on this horse with me. But also, I know Angela is about to make a move. So just like the quicker you find out information, the better. Pretty quickly into the episode, probably about 15 minutes in, Aunt Terry has decided to sunbathe. This is Falcon Crest showing off that they are super sexy. They've got, almost called him Laszlo Lanza, what's his name? Lorenzo Lamas, all greased up, kicking windmills and tomahawks in the air for absolutely no reason. Aunt Terry is peacefully sunbathing with a full face of makeup. And then she dozes off to sleep, only to find a hand caressing her stomach. It is her ex-boyfriend, who kind of looked like Lance right at first. I had to do a double take. But her ex-husband is back in town. Now, this is the deal. Terry is visibly grossed out by him. She's having a visceral reaction to his presence. Can't believe he's here. And he's all sleazy and slimy, like, hey, babe, let's enjoy the pool. She's like, oh my God, gross, 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 gross. I had our marriage annulled the second time you went back into prison. So she basically bided her time, bit her tongue, and waited till he went to jail so that she could have it annulled. She says she paid $500 American to have this done. And he's like, well, I mean, I don't know if your lawyer did or did not. Did or did not. I don't know if your lawyer did or didn't present those papers, but here I am. You're going to have to prove that back in Florida, we're still married, girl. She's like sick to her stomach. In one of the best baby mama scenes I've ever seen, bad girl Melly Mel is up to it again. She is spending quality time with baby Joseph as per the agreement between she and Cole. Where does she and Joseph like to spend their days? At the racetrack, of course. Duh. Joseph allegedly loves to watch the horses run around. So Melissa puts a little something-something down on number 7, and sure enough, number 7 comes true, winning them a couple coins. Now, as they leave the penthouse suite, they come back into the room, whatever the holding area is called, and Lance and stiff new lawyer are on the prowl. They're walking through the lobby. They see she and Joseph, and Lance makes a beeline over to baby Joseph. Oh my gosh, I miss you, blah, blah, blah. Well, this, I guess, is the second time that Melissa and new lawyer boy have met each other. I guess. I don't really remember. It doesn't matter. Fireworks are sparking. Well, hello. So nice to meet you. And him, well, hello, with his overpronunciating ass. Hello, so nice to meet you. Lance is looking onto this like, oh my God, here we go. She's going to eat him alive. Because you know, bad girl Melly Mel is 0-3 at this point. She does not lose in the game of seduction. So there's this whole awkward exchange where he tells her, you know, if you really like horses that much, you can always come on down to my place. And she's like, I think I will. And then Lance is being a hater baby daddy, as he should be. Even if baby Joseph isn't his daddy, this is the toxic relationship on the show. So they have to do toxic things. He's like, wow, Melissa, are you going to buy a whole stallion race or whatever? Basically, he pokes at her and she's like, you know what? I might. Maybe I'll ask your girlfriend, Terry, how to do so. Reminding him that he also has a hoe. That is his taste. Okay. Don't blame her for the horse activity she chooses to do. The exchange ends with nothing, but there's definitely some sort of spark going on there. Also, super noteworthy enough people, Miss Lynch, a.k.a. Pamela Lynch, a.k.a. Richard's main squeeze, is minding her business. She's already told him about Spirit. She's going to the bank to handle some business. But she's wearing a swishy sort of windsuit. Oh my God. This is the first time I've seen a windsuit in all of 1980 and all of the 1980 films that I can think of recently. She's the first person on all four of the soap operas to wear one. And yeah, that's one of those fashion choices that I definitely wore. Do you guys remember when the starter jackets were really popular and you can grab, like, I think the North Carolina one. I think, what was it? The North Carolina Hornets was super popular. Also the Orlando Magic. It was just a really big thing here in the States to wear a wind jacket at some point. very practical. Every mother, father, and child had a windsuit. I definitely had one in black and gray for the LA Raiders, but this is the first time I've seen one on one of these shows, so I am slowly becoming more and more acclimated into the 80s. Falcon Crest seems to be ahead of the curve, although even though it was the last show recorded, they didn't waste any time with taking fashion risks. I love it. She looks so good, and it's in that, you know, typical teal color that was just, you know, so iconic in the 80s and early 90s. She looks amazing, but while she's in her little windbreaker suit, she's swish through the bank. Spears is outside being a creepy. He comes inside, he hems her up, and she's super uncomfortable. A guard comes over. But as all this is happening, the Do Dirt PI guy is staring through the window from outside. So the optics aren't great. It kind of looks like she's participating, but if you're looking at her face, you can tell that she does not want to be there. Luckily, a security guard swoops in and handles business. Now, I don't want to give away too much more of this episode because it is actually jam-packed with information. Not a lot pops off until the very end, but it's jam-packed with information. Not limited to very creative spyware, long trip back home, in-laws starting to feel the baby mama, and a mystery shooting at the end of the episode. I don't want to spoil too much for you guys. I always like to leave just a little bit for you to enjoy for yourself. I am, of course, still watching and enjoying this show on Amazon Prime. I suggest you do the same thing. For whatever reason, season 4 wants you to pay for it for Falcon Crest. It's like $20, no big deal. But they are building up to something. Angela's back on her bully. She is buying shares left and right because her vision is to take over the globe. Is Richard privy to this? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, just maybe on this episode, the investigation into the plane crash is complete. Maybe Chase is still the aviator Adonis. Maybe he's not. All right, guys, that's it. That's all for this episode. Join me next time as we jump into one of the two other iconic soap operas and just lather up in all of this debauchery. In the meantime, in between time, keep your friends close, your enemies closer, and remote closest. Stay hydrated, moisturized, mind your own business, and keep all of your drama on TV.